Well, I was just thinking in Ajahn Lee's biography, he talks about, I think it was Ajahn Lee's biography, he talks about when he was living in Bangkok, studying at the monastery there, and he was thinking about leaving Bangkok and joining the forest tradition. Mm-hmm. And he talked about how he felt like the lifestyle there in the city wasn't supportive of the practice that he was working on.
Yeah.
And he also, I might be confusing his biography with Ajahn Tate, I'm not sure, but I think he also mentioned that it was a little awkward leaving because some of the monks in the city sort of looked down on Dutanga monks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
I'm just, I guess I'm curious, is the lifestyle here sort of like what a Dutanga monk would be like, or is that something different, or what is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely way closer to the Dutanga monks, or the forest monks. One is just the, well, we're definitely in the forest. Mm-hmm. Keeping the monastic precepts, which in Thai Buddhist culture or the monastic culture, then it's a small minority of monks who actually keep all of the precepts. I would think probably very similar to CTPB monks and nuns. Keep a lot of the training precepts, and if you go to other Chinese monasteries, you know, how did they look like this?
I've never been there.
Well, oftentimes it's like that. And certainly often for the monks here, they have no idea what they think. This is standard.
Mm-hmm.
This is normal. But the way that monastic life is lived in the city or in the villages is very, very different. It's pretty lax, pretty laid back. Everybody has, there's different precepts that we have. The simplicity is not there. It's actually a very big support for our practice, and it creates a community. Ajahn Chah in particular used the monastic form for the basis of community life. So it creates a strong community and community feeling, and for a lot of monasteries, and it's pretty much everybody fending for themselves, which isn't that beautiful. Yeah. So that, and then the emphasis, of course, on meditation is minimal at best in most monasteries, say in Thailand. That emphasis of training, a lot of it is study and ritual, and that's what the forest tradition is really kind of a very conscious attempt to try to get out of that kind of rut, really. And because also there's a premise that in the cities and towns, the emphasis on ritual and ceremonies, on study, the premise is that it's not possible to be enlightened anymore. There isn't any such thing as enlightenment. So you better just study the teachings and make merit, and and then hope to be reborn when, say, when the next Buddha comes. And for the forest tradition, the premise is very different in the sense that the teachings that the Buddha gave are teachings that are realizable here and now in this lifetime. And if you put forth effort and you apply yourself to the teachings, to the practice, you can realize the fruits of the practice. And even if you don't realize it, it is still possible. And people have done it in the past, and people are still doing it in the present. So that's what these great teachers like Ajahn Mun and Ajahn Chah and all of these teachers are a testament to the viability of the teachings.